Committee will come to order. The intent here is that we will be discussing the omnibus bill. We will have it presented, and members will have chances to comment and question and all of that good stuff this morning. Then we'll recess and reconvene at 4 o'clock, at which time we'll have time for public testimony on the bill. Until we have a quorum, we'll wait with anything else. If you'd like to start your presentation, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what we will do this morning, since there isn't a quorum yet, Representative Hansen and I will discuss, give you an overview of what's in the bill, and then just go through it page by page, bill that he had that came to our committee was included in this bill, so we are going to do this together, and it's going to be a little different because when we get to the text, the statutory text, we're going to have to be handing on back and forth. But that's what we'll do, and we hope it works out well. Let me start by just telling you about the big picture in PCA, DNR, and Metro Parks. And the big picture is that we have essentially the same amount of money in this bill that the governor has. Our target's essentially the same. But we heard from folks that they were anxious to move forward more on cleaning up our waters than anything else. That's a priority for this state. It's been talked about so much with Representative Osmond's help over the years that I think it is on the front burner. So what we did to start off with was take some of the general fund monies that were in the bills and reprioritize them to TMDLs and to testing. So while the governor did not give us enough money to test 10% of the lakes, which is the track we should be on, we found the money, and the bill says that we will be testing 10% of the lakes each year, and we have the money to do that for the next 2 years. Similarly, there is enough money in here to do TMDLs, to do roughly 10% of the TMDLs for the next 2 years. Also in DNR, which does some of the testing and monitoring, stream monitoring and biomonitoring, we make sure they're 100% funded for testing our waters to do their part in taking care of our waters. So that was a first priority. Once we did that, reprioritized by taking some monies from the general fund monies that we had roughly $6 million to look at. And what we did is take the first $1.8 million and not raise fees on boats to pay for invasives. We paid for that out of general fund, in fact, gave that a bit more money than was in the governor's proposal. The feeling was that lots of folks have boats. Most of them take good care of their boats, don't move them from waters to waters, or are very careful when they do move them. We do have scoff laws out there, and there are people who cause us problems, great problems, but it's not right to say to the folks who do a good job, you should pay for the people who cause problems. So that's the first thing we did. That meant we had 4.2 million left. We split we took 3 million, split it between trails and metro parks. And trails looked like it was hit hardest in the bills, and what we got from DNR, that trails is short $4.8 million per year in just maintenance and operation. And folks in Minnesota love their trails. We know they love their trails. And this is for the folks of Minnesota. With that, we had $1,000,001 left. And we, or $1,000,002 left. We allocated that among a number of very small projects. We could do nothing big because that's not an amount of money you can do big things with. But there were several projects that we thought were important, particularly ones dealing with energy. And so we had chats with Representative Hilty, and he is funding five of the things that actually came to our committee. The first one he is funding is the carbon sequestration bill. And I think folks thought that was extremely important that we understand carbon sequestration and what can be used to sequester. That is will be in the energy bill. The second thing we funded is the plasma torch study, the feasibility study. That will be in Representative Hilty's bill. A third one is a bill that gives PCA sufficient money to look at the pollutants that come from burning what we call the new fuels. If you're, they don't have a good measure of that, so there's money in the energy bill to look at those pollutants, so it will be easier to for PCA to do permitting of new plants. Another bill that is in Representative Hilty's bill is Representative Cornish's bill that looks at the riparian dam and its energy potential. And the fifth bill was the bill that looks at ways to study ways to permit faster some of the big plants that need to be permitted. So those are the five bills that we shifted off, but not to worry, they did not get lost and they are being funded. So that is the big picture, and I think now I'll turn to Representative Hansen and ask him to give you the big picture in the bills that he's carrying.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Earlier this spring, the Speaker of the House established a Wetlands, Watersheds, and Buffers Subcommittee, noting the importance of those issues and also responding to the Office of Legislative Auditor's report. We had several meetings, primarily looking at the Board of Water and Soil Resources budget. Like Representative Wagenius mentioned, our budget target was similar to the governor's. We did not have any additional money. We heard a variety of testimony. We've made some changes in the governor's budget in response to some of that testimony, and also primarily to a lot of the testimony in this committee and other committees about cellulosic ethanol, native plants, native vegetation establishment, etc. About a week ago, Representative Gunther chaired the subcommittee as we put together House File 577, which then we overviewed last week in this committee. So that has been rolled into this omnibus bill. It has some policy items in addition to the budget items.
So with that, I'm just going to start paging through the bill for you because I think it's easier to see what's going on if we take that direction. So much of what's in this bill are governor's recs, and I'm just going to mention those. So a lot of what's in the bill is the, what we received from the governor. And you'll see that starting with page 2. All of it is the recommendations from the governor. These are riders that have been in bills previously brought to us by Representative Osment. So there are a lot of places here where you don't see changes. Similarly, on page 3 until you get down to line 3.27, where we have included money to further PCA's work to analyze and monitor endocrine disruptors in surface waters at least 20 additional sites. The legacy money begins on line 3.32, and as I said, you'll look on the top of the next page, it says 10% of the needed statewide assessments are to be done each year, and the money is there for this. We got the dollars, the actual dollars needed from PCA, Mr. Reinholz did his magic. So, okay, and then we have on lines 4.8 to 4.10, that's the average of the TMDLs over the next 10 years. The next thing you'll see that's a little bit different from the governor, he gave some additional money just for ethanol mining and developing economic sectors. We did not take that from the general fund. We took that from the environment fund, and as we go through, I'll show you how we did with that. The endocrine disruptor study is paid for on, which we heard in this committee, is paid for on paid lines 4.16 and 4.17. There was a bill before us, Representative McNamara would be interested in this one, and particularly to transfer money to the Commissioner of Health to conduct an evaluation of point-of-use water treatment units in removing PFOAs and PFOSs. And this money is going to be transferred from the remediation fund to health. I talked to Commissioner Moore about this particular issue. He expects that he will be able to recover these dollars back to the remediation fund from 3M. Okay. One of the things we asked the agency to do is to amend rules and provide recommendations for a legislative action. This is the bottom of the page. If necessary, to have the folks who get permits for ethanol and mining to pay the cost of their permits. The rest of that page, I think, is things you were in the governor's bill. On lands, on page 6, we only added that before the commissioner, as the commissioner submits a report on what should be spent for cleanup, it also goes to the committees in the House and Senate. At the bottom of page 6, you'll also see another place where that we're transferring money to the Department of Health. That is in the governor, from the governor's recs. That's exactly what he asked for. On page 7, you'll see the SCORE block grants. That is exactly the amount of money the governor recommended. On the top of page, or at the bottom of page 7, and going to the top of page 8, you will see what we did with the green fleets. We're asking first that school buses, including buses for little kids, that's preschool kids, be retrofitted. The PCA is doing a good job at finding dollars outside of the state system to match with dollars within these dollars, and I trust they will follow up on this for preschool kids. We also have loans for small trucking firms. This money had been 1.5. We took $300,000 each year, and again are giving it to the Department of Health, and this time it is for looking at biomonitoring. That was the bill that Representative Bunn brought before us. That bill will be carried in the a health bill, and the bill will be amended to say that the health department in cooperation with the pollution control agency. And the reason we're doing this is because we have looked at pollutants by doing risk-based or risk assessments, and the health department has done them, PCA has used them. We can get better data if we do some biomonitoring, and I would use the again, the PFOAs and the PFOSs is an example where New Jersey has actually looked at the amounts in cord blood of infants and given a good baseline of what is actually out there, not so we get real data on how it's affecting humans. So we're going to participate in that process. If you go to lands and minerals on the next page, we did not give any general fund money for land records management system. That is something, there are some other fund monies to get it started, but so far the department is doing what it needs to do to get ready, but it hasn't got a proposal on the ground yet. And hopefully we will have an opportunity to see that proposal before we recommend money to fund it. Their preliminary studies are due at the end of this fiscal year. Okay, there's on page 10, there's $15,000 for the DNR to do proposed minimum legal and conservation standards that could be applied to conservation easements acquired with public money. You'll see on line 10.18 that was the governor's recs to support the land records management system. On 10.30, this is the cost of implementing the Red River Mediation Agreement, and we give a $100,000 increase in each year. If you're going into page 11, and you'll see the ring dike construction, that's an increase of $75,000 per year. And at an 11.2, you will see money, increased money for DNR to do their identification of impaired waters. The forest and forestry, they asked for an appropriation from the forest investment account and a specific way of spending that is in the bill as presented by the governor. There is $780,000 for the Forest Resource Council, and if you turn to page 13, you'll see an additional $75,000 for the Forest Resources Council for a task force on forest protection. That's to deal with the invasive issue. And then $75,000 in the second years to grant to the commissioner of DNR, actually, to do grants for cities for diseases. Okay. The next change on page 14 is $5,000 each year for payment of expenses of the Cuyuna County State Recreation Area for the Advisory Council. Trails and waterways, you don't see any change in the language, but this is where we did put $750,000 each year in addition into this area. In Fish and Wildlife, on page 16, we did these are generally the what the governor suggested, but we did limit some of the spending to public lands and not private and public. There is some additional money on page 17 for cattle fencing feeding areas. And in Let's Go Fishing, that is at half the level that was requested. That's on page 17, line 17. Here is the invasive species account where we funded it with general fund money rather than boat money. And put some additional language in at the bottom here. We're asking an applicant for grants to manage invasive SIPs to have a workable plan for improving water quality. And we do allow some money in here for technical assistance from DNR to do that, to help them out, to reduce the need for additional treatment. We say that grants can't be made for chemicals that are likely endocrine disruptors. And at the bottom, you'll see on line 1828, a plan to prevent the introduction of Asian carp into Minnesota's waters must be made available to the public by November 1st. It's clearly an issue the public has on its mind, and I think we need to respond. So, actually, Representative Hansen thinks we need to respond, and I would agree. This is a suggestion he had. If you're looking down now on line 1838, we take some small steps to support biofuels. And what we you'll see about three or four things that we have done to do that. None are dramatic, but we have taken some first steps. The first one is $125,000 to support a technical committee, which you'll see on the next page, and then to ask DNR to look at, for its each of its land management units that manage grasslands, to develop plans to optimize native prairie seed harvest and replanting on state-owned lands, done with best management practices, with an outcome of ensuring the survival of native plants remaining in Minnesota. We have gotten testimony and feedback that native plants can be overwhelmed because we have so few of the native prairie plants. They can be overwhelmed with the introduction of too many species from other areas, and they could be genetically overwhelmed. So what we want to do is be cautious as we move forward, so we're not taking great steps here, but Representative McNamara, if you look on line 19.6, we say that maximizing seed harvest may include allowing seed producers to keep a portion of the seeds as compensation for supplying equipment and labor. And that will mean that small local businesses can participate in having some of these very high-value seeds. And I hope that they're wise enough. We don't say anything about this, but I hope they are wise enough to market them for the high value that they have. The Technical Advisory Committee is on the next in the next paragraph, and you look on 1916, and we have we're tasking that with developing criteria to develop public and private marginal lands, which could be used to produce native prairie seeds of a local ecotype or to restore native prairies. And the second thing they're asking to look at is provide guidelines for production. And this is the way we see possibly having the base information needed for moving forward with some pilot projects, perhaps in the bonding bill next year, for biofuels. I noticed when I read this yesterday, when I got it, that it didn't have a date in it, and we will, in an author's amendment, have a date by which this is due. That was just an oversight. Next page, on line 20, 25, you'll see the conservation officer position to be stationed at Mississippi Headwater State Park. I think you'll see the next pages are just what was in the governor's bill until you get to page 22. Line 22-29 is money from the Game and Fish Fund to study the natural strands of wild rice required in Article 2, which we'll talk to you about later. And on the next page, on line 23-6, is the money for the wild rice provisions that we talked about in committee. And now we come to the Board of Water and Soil Resources.
Mr. Chair, remember, following up on some of the items that Representative Wagenius has talked about, what we're doing in the bill is drawing a brighter line, kind of the traditional between private and public lands. We're looking at the DNR being responsible for public lands. They have needs and tasks on those lands relating to conservation. And we believe that the Board of Water and Soil Resources is an effective way of delivering conservation on private lands. So traditionally, it's kind of been DNR public lands, Board of Water and Soil Resources private lands. Now, we want to encourage the agencies to be working with each other, but to have those responsibilities clear. And so you'll see as we go through the Board of Water and Soil Resources, we have some responsibilities relating to invasive species that were in House File 1885, looking at delivery of conservation on private lands. Just starting off with 23.13, these are the natural resources block grants. That is the same as the governor's recommendation. We go to 23.29, and these are the general services grants. Again, we did not have any additional dollars for the beyond the governor's recommendations. I had a bill for 2.1 million additional general services grants. That's not included. When you get to lines 24.2, we get into some of the accountability measures requiring that any district requesting a grant has a web page. We heard in testimony that only about a third of the districts have a web page. We get into the cost share, and just in terms of money, the 3.250, Representative Magnus, we had here we took 35K and moved that addition to 26.32 on the Area 2 grant. So we actually increased Area 2, and that's where it came from, was on that cost share. So there's a slight reduction in the total cost share. We took some of that money and put it to Area 2. Probably the biggest change in the governor's recommendation, there was $1.5 million the first year and the second year for grants for cost sharing for feedlot water quality. We have shifted that to cost sharing contracts to establish and maintain vegetative buffers. So this elsewhere in the bill, you have what was 577 vegetative buffer requirements. This is for voluntary. What we're talking about here is matching federal and state dollars to have an attractive incentive for establishing buffers. We're continuing to talk with the Board of Water and Soil Resources on this particular issue. $300,000 first year and $300,000 the second year to begin county cooperative weed management programs on private lands, looking again at the conservation programs, and restoring native plants in selected invasive species management areas. When you go to the bottom of that section, Representative Cornish had constituents who had a $2,000 cost with the Faribault SWCD. We're using turnback money from 2007 to fund that need for a local VFW for a stream bank that blew out. 25.3 and 25.4, this was Representative Anzell's amendment last week, looking at providing a cost share docket for forestry practices, so some of the northern districts with primarily forestry could look at using cost share for more traditional forestry practices rather than agriculture. It would be local control where they can choose to use those practices for cost share. 25.5 to 25.13, that's the Red River Basin Commission. That's the same as the governor's recommendation. Then when we get into 25.14 with Clean Water Legacy, we do make some changes in here. There was an amendment last week where we took some of that money and dedicated it for services for the Minnesota Conservation Corps, $250,000 each year. We have $2 million for targeted non-point restoration, protection, and technical assistance. of which 17 or 1.7 million is available for grants, 200,000 for reporting and evaluation. And then when we get to the 25.31, and there's been some confusion on this, whether it's 1.650 per year or for the biennium, for grants to ISTS programs, Representative Knuth had a bill looking at local ordinances. What we're doing here is rewarding those counties that take the leadership with those local ordinances, and the counties can request grants up to $60,000 the first year and $60,000 the second year to work with ISTS systems that are in threats to public health. So it's a little bit of a change. Rather than distributing the money out, we're putting more money in, and then providing more substantial grants. Then we get to about 26.18, Minnesota River Basin Joint Powers Board, looking at measurements on and reporting of results of projects in the 12 major watersheds in the Minnesota River Basin. That was Representative Morrow's bill. And then, again, on 26.32, that's Representative Magnus's bill with a little more money. And then we get into, on the top of page 27, the Wetland Conservation Act dollars. And I want to just highlight, because I know there's concern from local governments when we get into the policy, but on line 27.4, the state is providing $500,000 each year in grants to local units of government to help make up the cost and improve the response to the violations. So we're taking state dollars to go to those costs that the local governments are incurring when there's enforcement needs and violations with Wetland Conservation Act. The change here is in the governor's recommendation, there was $60,000 for developing a wetland vision. We're taking that and assigning that to the rule writing that will be needed with the Wetland Conservation Act. And then the drainage work group recommendations, these are the governor's recommendations on that. And then we get to page 28 and some more accountability where giving Bowser the authority to reduce, withhold, or redirect grants if a local water management entity has not corrected deficiencies prescribed within 1 year from the date of notice. Can we get into policy? Or the council members?
Did you mention that? We are now at the Metropolitan Council, and just as we gave trails $1.5 million extra, we gave Metropolitan Council $1.5 million extra. Again, these are both operations and maintenance grants, both made. I think we all understand the need for that. Then we go on to the article, and I think we start with Article 2. I think that starts with Representative Hansen's language, and we're just going to have to go back and forth here.
So this policy language is from House Bill 1930 that moved through the committee process, and it makes the managers of watershed districts or members of watershed management organizations or the supervisors of soil and water conservation districts public officials. That means they'd have to file the same conflict of interest asset information that we do. We then move into line 30.22 to 26, some of the Wetland Conservation Act, that'd be House File 1343. And then when we get to line 31.29, we move into the venison donation program. That continues on line 32. And then, or in page 32, and then at the bottom of page 32, we go into Representative Levinas's ecotype definitions.
These are exactly the way you saw them in committee members. So there are no changes here. The easement information is on line 34 5.12, and as you saw in committee. Then we go into some language that was in the governor's bill. We'll keep on going with that until we get to line 37.4. And one of the things we talked about in encouraging folks to restore native prairie was nobody knows how to. And I won't say nobody, because DNR certainly does know how to do that job. And so we had some conversations with DNR, and they have lots of folks on the ground who know exactly what they're doing, and they use best management practices. And so what we talked about, and they agreed to do, was to set up a website, tell folks what they're doing. And it's to be a teaching website. And they're going to use actual restoration projects that are under development on state-owned land to illustrate and demonstrate the practices described. I look forward to that. I think that's going to be good. The invasive species account on page 37.15 was the governor's recommendation. The Citizens Advisory Council was the one that we heard about in committee just the other night, and we just put that in as requested. That goes down through page 38. And I believe this is governor's money recommendation again. It is. Through the bottom of page 39, and then we have the Shade Tree Pest Control Grant Program. I talked about the money, $75,000. This is the language in here. At the bottom of page 40, this is the governor's recommendations again. Until we get to the deer licenses on page 42.
And on 42, that's again the deer license surcharge for venison donation. That was, I believe, House File 278. So that's 42, and then a little bit on the Vermilion Highlands Wildlife Management Area, and then more on the deer license surcharge. And then we're into the non-resident fishing licenses,
which are part of the governor's recommendations, which we took. And then you're back to
44.4, more on the venison donation. And then we're into the fishing contest permit. And then we get into at the bottom of 44.334, move, most of 45. We have House File 1930. This is the Board of Water and Soil Resources accountability and oversight items. Then we get to 45.30, and on the next page, 46.5, the credit card use. We found that the watershed districts and the SWCDs did not have the direct authority to use credit cards, so we're providing them with that. Then we get into the ditch buffer language from House File 577, and that takes up most of the rest of 46, 47, page 48, 49, 50. And then we get into moving into wetlands with House File 1343 on page 52.7 through 13. And again, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67. All these are in 1343, which move through the process. And then we get into ISTS of in the middle of 68 and 69.
And this is begins the language for performance-based ISTSs, and the language is just as you saw it in committee. And that goes through several pages until we get the next thing we get to is on page 71 to 27. Asking the EQB to adopt rules that will require an environmental impact statement for any proposal to release genetically engineered wild rice. Then we get back on 72 at the bottom for governor's recommendations. On page at the section 73 was a proposal brought to us by Representative Solberg. The endocrine disruptor report, the language is on section 74, the easement report is section 75, section 76 is goes with back to Representative Solberg's amendment. The wild rice study is on section 77. And then we're back to you.
And then 70, section 80, I think that we got 77 is the wild rice study, 78, 79 are still with ISTS. Rulemaking on section 80, this was the amendment we added last Thursday in the committee, clarifying the rule writing relating to the Wetland Conservation Act. And then on 75.28, we move to the Vermilion Highlands Wildlife Management Area.
And that is the language as brought to us by Representative McNamara. And that's it. And with that, members, I would like to move House File 1651 that be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance. We will now do, with that motion, I would like to move to amend with the delete all.
I will now call the meeting to order.
Okay. That's good.
And with that, very quickly, so we can take care of this, Representative Anselk, you were just waiting to, Representative Anselk, you were just waiting to approve the minutes from March 20th and 22nd, is that correct?
So moved.
Thank you. Any corrections, additions? If not, all those in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Now, Representative Borginius, in order to do this properly, it is my understanding that first you have to move the bill.
I will move House File 1651 that it be recommended to pass and sent to the Finance Committee.
And now we have an amendment, the delete all amendment.
Yes, and I would move delete all amendment A070443.
That's the amendment that we had, that we've been working from in this explanation, members, just so everyone is clear.
And to get it in the order that I would like, can we amend an amendment like this? Yes, I think we can. I have a technical
Okay, we'll can we hear those amendments to get it in the shape that you like it?
Right. There are just three things in here in this particular part of the amendment. A couple of word changes in the report that I noted that we had failed to put in a report time. And I would like to move Amendment A9 to get the omnibus bill in the shape that I would like it.
Members, have you all seen the A9 amendment? Is that still coming around? Okay. Discussion to the A9 amendment. Discussion to the A9 amendment. If not, all those in favor? Amendment is adopted. Members opposed? Thank you. It is now adopted.
There was one bill that was inadvertently deleted from, or not put in the bill that I had intended to put in the bill, and we picked it up last night as we were reading it. And it just got typed. So if I would like to move as an author's amendment a 10 to the omnibus bill. And this is the 4x4 truck amendment of bill of Representative Moe. And it was intended to be in this omnibus bill and just did not get there.
Members, has everyone seen the A10 amendment? The A10 amendment has been moved. All those in favor? Discussion.
Roll call.
For my discussion first. Representative McNamara.
I'm just trying to remember. I'm wondering, Representative Wagenius, can you remind us which bill this is? I'm trying to remember which of these it is. Is this Representative Moe's bill?
Yes.
Okay.
This, and this is as amended in committee. And I would appreciate a yes vote.
Mr. Chair?
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering, this looks, I don't know if the effect is the same, but Representative Moe, I'm wondering if you can explain to me, this is substantially shorter, and it says some things like, I don't remember language, shall not permit. Is this more broad than the bill that was before? So I'm wondering if you can explain what the implications are of this amendment as opposed to your original legislation.
Thank you, Representative McNamara, Mr. Chair. In committee, we talked about this somewhat at length, and we shortened it to clarify the definition of a 4x4 truck, not wanting to prohibit 4x4 truck travel in general, but wanting to make it very specific to trails that were designated specifically for off-road vehicles. And also we specified in this legislation that designated off-road vehicle use areas aren't prohibited, such as the Gilbert facility. So that's what the...
Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Helen, could you, wonder if we could get the definition of off-road vehicles as in 84.797 subdivision 7? What is all included there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Osmond, this is my error. This was meant to be in the bill, and it was inadvertently left out this section. But we heard it last Thursday night in the committee, and Representative Moe took out the 4x4 truck definition and used the off-road vehicle definition in statutes, which says off-road vehicle means a motor-driven recreational vehicle capable of cross-country travel on natural terrain without benefit of a road or trail. Off-road vehicle does not include a snowmobile, an all-terrain vehicle, a motorcycle, a watercraft, a farm vehicle being used for farming, a vehicle used for military, fire, emergency, or law enforcement purposes, a construction or logging vehicle used in the performance of its common function, a motor vehicle owned by or operated under contract with the utility, whether publicly or privately owned when used for work on utilities, a commercial vehicle being used for its intended purpose, snow grooming equipment when used for its intended purpose, or an aircraft.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments on the Aiken Amendment? Representative Hackworth.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Moe, I wish we could have come to some kind of a, compromise or something on this. I know you've got some issues in your district, and I know there's trails in your district where maybe, I don't know if the DNR hasn't monitored it properly or the clubs or whatever, but I know there's some areas, maybe a couple of miles, that that are not very well taken care of, or there's some erosion or whatever you want to call it. And maybe we can agree to do something with that area, maybe even, you know, go as far as closing that particular area down. But members, to close down this four-wheel drive truck trails everywhere in the state of Minnesota with this broad amendment is wrong. It eliminates this recreational activity in the state of Minnesota. And I don't believe we should be doing that. I believe we have to address Representative Moe's problem and in his area and take care of his situation. But to eliminate these this recreational sport from the state of Minnesota is absolutely ludicrous. I don't believe, even though it should have been included in the bill, and I understand Mr. Helen's point here, but this has given us an opportunity again to say this should not be happening. And I wish we could come to some sort of a compromise with Representative Moe to take care of his issues in his area and still keep this a viable sport in the state of Minnesota.
Representative Moe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hackbarth. I've been speaking with the representative of the four-wheel drive truck group, and we still have a couple of concerns about dispensation of the monies for this the fund, and I would ask the chair to, if we could withdraw the amendment at this time and bring it forward again later on in the week.
Because I will withdraw the amendment. We will have an opportunity on Thursday morning.
With the amendments laid on the table, do we have discussion to the bill as amended? Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hansen, I'm kind of disappointed in the fact that there's no money for SWCDs. These are hardworking folks that really look after the environmental interests of the state of Minnesota. And the last time they had an inflationary increase was 2002. And they rely on increases not only from the state, but very often they're matched by county government. And why didn't we have that increase in here? And is there any way that the chairman can figure out a way to squeeze some money out so we can take care of these folks who work very, very hard, as you well know?
Mr. Chair and Representative Gunther, our target was the same as the governor's target. So we didn't have any additional money, so we moved around within what we had. I would like to provide additional dollars. I wish there was more legacy dollars as well, because I believe that the districts can deliver projects on the ground effectively, but we did not have any additional money.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Venus, if you could squeeze some money out anywhere, I think that would be a wonderful place to put it. And I have a very strong feeling you feel the same way.
Well, Representative Gunther, I have the expectation that there are going to be people who have come to you today and tomorrow and say she squeezed too tightly. So I hope you will remember to tell them that when they come and say, there were some general fund monies that, gee, we would have liked to have had. I wish we'd have had more general fund money. I truly do.
Other comments or questions?
I think we have to vote on the delete all.
Do you want to do that at this time, then?
Yes, I would like to adopt the delete all amendment to, as amended, to House File 1651.
Members, Representative Wagenius moves to adopt the delete all amendment, coded 0443, as amended. Representative Tinkelstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just a clarification, so we're just adopting this to put the bill in the shape the author would like, and then we'll be doing amendments coming up in another meeting, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Other discussion, other questions? If not, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Representative Wagenius, we have a short time until we need to be out of here. At this time, would you like to invite testimony from the audience, or should we save that for this afternoon's session?
Either would be fine with me. I don't know whether people have had an opportunity to digest the whole thing. That's why we were trying to give them a break. In order to look at the whole picture and not just one little piece of it, which is easy to do and it's hard to see the whole thing. But if there are people who would like to bring some new information to us right now, we will be certainly getting new information this afternoon. So, or be open to getting new information this afternoon. So, either way.
Either way. Do we have any
Mr. Chair?
Other question. Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair, I would really like to have the extra time, if we can, just to go ahead and look at this over ourselves, and so that we can see what, when we get into testimony this afternoon, then we'll know as to what questions we may want to ask the testifiers.
That sounds pretty sensible to me. Anything else, members? If not, this committee is recessed until 4 o'clock this afternoon.